Blog Talk Radio.
No matter what you're going through, I know that you can stand. For your life is there.
No matter what makes you, my way.
My life is in your hands. Praise God. I wouldn't want my life to be in nobody else's hand. My life is in your hand. Aren't you glad your life is in God's hand? Think about it. If it was in the Rockefeller's hand, they'd sell you out. Aren't you glad your life is in his hand? That way you know you ain't going to be left at the doorstop, because your life is in his hand. You ain't got to worry about saying no, that he's going to say yes, because your life is in his hand. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're truly happy to have each and every one of you all today. We're asking Pastor Bell from Akron, Ohio, if she'd be so kind to give us a word of prayer.
Praise the Lord. Good afternoon, everyone. And thank you, Pastor, for that song. Amen, amen. And the scripture I'd like to share is coming from St. John, the 10th chapter and verse 28. Well, let me back up. Verse 27 and 28. From the King James, "My shepherd hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we're thanking you, Father God, for this day. Thanking you, Father God, for the listeners and our pastor and those that participate. Father God, we give you thanks, Father God. I think you will bless each and every one in a mighty way. And Lord, we bind up anything and everything that try to come up against us to try to hinder this broadcast going forth, for us learning the true word of God. Continue, Father God, to open up our hearts and our mind to receive the word, and let us meditate on the word day and night. And not only meditate on the word, but have the word in the lining of our heart, Father God. Lord, we just thanking you for the word. We ask that you bless all those who've asked us to keep them in prayer. Be with those that are going through. Be with those who are bereaved, Father God. And Lord, praise, Father God. Lord, pastor in a mighty way, word of God. And Lord, continue to be with those that are going through. We know you're a way maker out of no way, and there's nothing impossible for you. So help us to lean and depend on you, from which all of our help and all of our strength come from. Because as the scripture says in Psalms 23 and verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of our life." And Lord, and that's what we have to do, is stand on your word. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor Bill, for that heartfelt prayer. As believers emerge into the things of God, I'm talking about true believers. Understand, brothers and sisters, you have all kind of believers, so we want to talk to true believers. Now, you do your research. A true believer is somebody who acts on the word of God as they hear it. They hear it, they act on it. That means they believe. If Peter had never operated during the third watch of the night, when Jesus said, come, Peter, he wouldn't have been a believer. But a believer act on it. Didn't matter what he see or felt, he act on it. He said, Lord, if that be you, bid me to come. Jesus said, come, Peter. And Peter walked out on the water because he believed. If he didn't believe, he never would have made that step. I know everybody see the negative side of that, where he took his eyes off the Lord. Listen, brothers and sisters, when you know you believe, it's not necessary. So today, this is for the believers in Christ. If you're a true believer, and we're talking about true believers, you may have to test yourself to see if you're a true believer. And I can give you a lot of, a true believer to me is a Galatians 2:20. That's somebody who have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ lives in me. See, when you're a true believer, you don't mind crucifying the flesh. You'll walk out there. Matter of fact, a true believer, the Bible says, is going to live by faith. Not by the faith that's in Christ, see? So today, we want to talk about the true sanctuary. The true sanctuary. And the Lord has, and I'm going to be straight up with y'all, because he corrected me on a lot of things, and he told me that teach the people about who's ministering in the sanctuary. Mm-hmm. I said, what? The Lord said, yeah, Christ is ministering in the sanctuary. And we've been called able ministers because we minister in the same sanctuary that he's in. That's what makes us able. Think about it. So we're going to go to our foundational scriptures today, and then I'm going to share some things with you all about the book of Hebrews, because if you don't understand this book of Hebrews, you're not going to understand what this is about, because this is almost right dead smack in the middle of the book of Hebrews, and for what reason, I have no idea. I just know it's here, and I know God wants us to teach the people to know about the true sanctuary, the heavenly sanctuary, where Christ is at. Don't tell me about Christ in your church. I ain't trying to hear it. I know what the Bible's saying. I know where the Bible says he's at. That's what I'm buying. I ain't buying all this other, man, don't get me started. I ain't buying all this other malarkey. I'm going by what the Word of God says. So in the first verse, and we'll read down through 5. And this is our foundational scripture, but then we're going to touch on some things in the book of Hebrews that you got to understand in order to understand this book. So now of the things which we have spoken, this is the psalm. We have such an high priest. Y'all underline high priest. See how you're really using a high priest. You're going to have to underline that. Because you got to know that we still have a high priest who is sitting on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true, underline true, true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. This is a true tabernacle, underline true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. You may not like this, and I get it, but this is what the Word of God says, and this has to become a reality. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example of the shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, said he, that thou makest all things according to the pattern shown to thee in the mountain.
Mm-hmm. Amen. From the Message Bible, Hebrews 8:1-5. In essence, we have just such a high priest, authoritative right alongside God, conducting worship in the one true sanctuary built by God. The assigned task of a high priest is to offer both gifts and sacrifices, and is no different with the priesthood of Jesus. If he were limited to earth, he wouldn't even be a priest. We wouldn't need him, since there are plenty of priests who offer the gifts designated by the law. These priests provide only a hint of what goes on in the true sanctuary of heaven, which Moses caught a glimpse of as he was about to set up shrine. It was then that God said, "Be careful to do it exactly as you saw it on the mountain." Amen.
Okay, first of all, this is the new covenant, which is greater than the old. So let me put it in simple layman terms. During this covenant, or sanctuary, if you will, because that's what he's talking about, really, it's about, and maybe just to clear up a lot of things with people, let's talk about the old church and the new church. Maybe that, because see, when we think of church, we think of a building. And that's what he's talking about, because see, that's what Moses was commissioned to do. What you see Moses making is a replica of what you see, because that's going to take place when Christ comes. So when Christ comes, and he has came, the new covenant is greater than the old. See?
Amen.
So the high priest of a new covenant, look at it like this, the minister of the old was Moses. The minister of the new is Christ. So
Amen.
Just like Moses had a congregation, Christ has a congregation. But his congregation is in heaven where we are. That's why you set your affections on things above and not on things beneath. Remember, what Moses saw was just a shadow. That's how he could only make a shadow of what he saw. But the real deal is here now, brothers and sisters. That's why we got to get with the program. And it's about having faith in the sanctuary. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, he's talking about faith. He's simply explaining how people before us had walked and had faith in this promise that God had promised. Over in the 4th chapter of the book of Hebrews, he had promised. This promise was for everybody, but everybody didn't believe. Now, they talked it, but they didn't walk it. They talked the talk, but they wouldn't walk the walk. So because they didn't mix their preaching with faith, they died.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to understand these things, because that's not where you want to be at. The other thing I want to point out this week, or as we go forward, and I want to kind of use this as a, like I was going to put something on trial, how, you know, the defense, they lay out their case, and the prosecutor, I mean, you know, they lay out their case, and the defense, they lay out their case. And that's what I want to do. I'm going to lay this stuff out, and then we're going to get into it so that everybody understands the engagements here, what we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
We're dealing with a high priest that's alive now. That's not on earth, because if he was on earth, he wouldn't be no high priest here, because he wouldn't be offering those kind of gifts. He offers spiritual gifts. There's a difference right there. But in the old, and it's going to be somewhat an old versus the new, because the old and the new, we can point out some similarities. We can point out some differences between the one. Actually, the writer of the book of Hebrews, he put the connection between the old Mosaic law or old Mosaic covenant and the new covenant, which happens to be the Messiah, the messenger, the covenant. He proves that the old covenant was a shadow of the real Christ. Now you got the real sanctuary. So that's what you're gonna, that's what we're gonna talk about. Moses is referenced to as the old covenant. Christ is referenced to as the new. So either you're gonna be up on the Moses teaching or you're gonna be up on the Christ teaching. You can't be up on the both of them. So don't get that twisted.
Okay.
In Hebrews 8:3-4, the gifts of the sacrifice that was made to a guilty, sinful nation under Moses, and everybody that attends the and understand this, understand that when they went to the temple, they went to deal with their sins, and they would never forget them, because once a year they was required to come back. Under the new covenant in Christ, that sacrifice by the guiltless Christ focused on us as believers, his law being in our hearts and not on some tablets, not on some stone. But he put his law in our hearts, in our minds. And we're dealing with reality, brothers and sisters. They only dealt with the shadow. Matter of fact, when I think about, we get on into that, you're going to see they was limited to the promise. But we are limitless to the promise. There is no limit to the promise that, God has made with us. And that's very important, because we have grace. See, that's what they didn't have. Matter of fact, they all did not have the right to come before the throne of grace. And the people who was, and please understand this, because I saw that not too long ago where, you know, the Sabbath was made for us. We weren't made for the Sabbath.
All right.
They're missing that right now. So, let me slow down, because the Hebrews being the book began by emphasizing that the old Judaism, okay, and the new Christianity are both religions revealed by God. So when we read Hebrews 1:1-3, and the doctrine that follows that is awesome. So you go from 4 through 10 or 18. It was a shadow, and it shows the superiority of Christ. It shows that Christ was superior to angels. He was superior to all of those prophets and patriarchs that came before him. God had to show them that, okay, none of that would work. Y'all couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. I don't care what you do. You couldn't do it. And then furthermore, can I be real honest with you? The blood of bulls and goats, that didn't save nobody. You wasn't saved. So if you're going to church today, I want to tell you, and you're making your sacrifice, first of all, you're doing it wrong, because you're not taking the sacrifice.
Have mercy.
Not in that sanctuary. You're not taking a sacrifice. That's what they used to do. So you got to get real. How did they really do it? Picture yourself. How did they really do it? You think they went up and sat in the chair like people do today and listen to the choir sing and have a good time when they get done. Hey, did y'all have a good time? Yeah, man, did that man, who did the choir sing? Did the usher? Now, brothers and sisters, wrong. Do your research. That ain't what they did. People went to Jerusalem. They was about business. They didn't want their sins to be on them. So they had to go visit the priest, the high priest. And they couldn't even mess with the high priest. The closest they could get was the priest. And then the priest would take their offering and give it to the high priest. And the high priest would dap it on the mercy seat. And he would have mercy.
Yes, yes, amen.
But they wasn't forgiven. Their sin was covered for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a conscience of it. Well, see, when you get into Christ, your sin is gone forever.
Hallelujah.
That don't mean you don't ask for forgiveness, so don't get ahead of yourself. I just want you to know, brothers and sisters, in Christ, you're going to find out that he deletes the conscience of sin. That ain't even weird, because you grow up. You get mature into this, okay? And you're reminded of how we are to be faithful. We're reminded that because Christ was faithful, we're to be faithful. But the Lord has really put this in my spirit, brothers and sisters. But before we can really get into this, you got to have some understanding about the book of Hebrews. Because if you don't, you'll miss it all. You got to have this understanding about the book of Hebrews. So, also, it was written, and why it was written. Look at it like this. This is a blueprint, okay? And it starts by showing the foundation. And it shows mm-hmm. that man needed a savior. They tried a lot of different things, but it didn't work. So God said, okay, in these last days, I'm going to speak to you directly to my son and through my son. And you'll have access to me directly. In the old, they never had that access. They could never access mm-hmm. God. The closest thing to them accessing God was God wouldn't even show up for them. How about that one?
Mm-hmm.
God would send an angel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Angels would work. Prophets would work. Today in the new covenant, you have direct access to God through Christ. If you're in Christ and he's seated at the right-hand side, that's where he's at. And according to Hebrews 8, now I read this. I want you to read it. It says he is the minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man.
All right.
That's
Amen.
Another reason that word Lord is so important, because that was the commandment. Love the Lord your God. So you got to know who the Lord is, because you got to know who pitched the tent, who pitched the
Amen.
Tabernacle, who is the minister of the sanctuary. People mm-hmm. put all these ministers over Christ.
Have mercy.
We're missing it when you do that. Christ is our mm-hmm. high priest. He is our minister. He's your minister. Let him be your mm-hmm. minister of the sanctuary. So God said, going forward, the people need to know that Christ is the minister of the heavenly sanctuary. And teach them that's where I want them to be. See, we missed it before in 1840, where it had been prophesied that Daniel was going to, this is in Daniel 8:14, that's where it prophesied that. But after that, that 2,300 days, and depending on how you want to count them, if you want to count them as man days or as God days, because 1,000 years is as but one day in the sight of God. But anyway, long story short, they got it wrong, man. They thought Christ was going to return in the year 1844, and they missed it. So after they realized that the prophecy did not come true because it was man prophecy, and these were no ordinary people that came up with this. These were people who had studied scripture. They was part of that monk charisma that was going on. These were people who had carefully understood the scripture through the Bible studies that had been done in New York and other places in the world, and they realized they missed it because they had, and some of them was part of the Seventh-day Adventists, and because they thought that they got that right, that they was getting it all right, and they was following a long line of people who would teach prophecy. But listen, brothers and sisters, God's purpose was to make us like him. God's purpose is to get us with him. And the way he chose to do that is through Christ. So that's why God made Christ the minister of the sanctuary. And, I like that word and because it's a conjunction, and of the true tabernacle. So you can't get away, and you can't get around it. You can try to wiggle yourself, but you got to understand that he is the minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. He's a high priest. So we're going to show where, and we're going to show where Christ is superior. We may have to take the first, the first chapter. Because you got to understand the power that angels had. And Christ is greater than angels. But you got to see that.
Amen.
You got to see the superiority. Christ over everyone, everything. Mm-hmm. And it's free of fear. And by the authority. Now, I'm going to tell you something else, too. When we talk about faith, Christ is the author of that. He is the finisher of it.
Yeah.
I want you to learn in the book of Hebrews. Most preachers just know the 11th chapter, and they don't even know how they got to the 11th chapter, but they know faith is there, and they want to do a big study on faith, and they don't understand that the writer in Hebrews was explaining to the people why they had faith, why it came to that point. And that's why we're to have faith in the promise that God had promised, which is in Christ. And all these people who died having yet received the promise but seeing the far off, they died. And you give all these examples of the faith that people were to have and had had. But here we are today, we don't have faith in Christ. Prove it. Look at what church they attended. We're supposed to be letting Christ be our minister.
Yeah.
Don't get mad at me, TDJ. Don't get mad at me, somebody. But anyway, look here. Let me, because it's going to take a minute, brother and sister, but it's probably going to take the rest of this week for me really showing some of the things that we need to understand, especially when it came to the angels. Because, see, God going to say, at which angel did I say my son? Well, why did he say that? Because angel was in authority, but God never made an angel his son. That's what's the beauty of this. He used angels, but no angel. He used prophets, but none of them. They long to see this day. And we're going to be dealing with the gifts that Christ gave as a priest. Paul wants us to pay attention over there in the second chapter. We're going to deal with that. And let me tell you something else, brothers and sisters. It's going to require humanity. It's going to require a person being humble as well. But you'll see that Christ is greater than Moses. So that way you can get out of the Moses church. Most people right now attend Moses sanctuary, and they don't even know why. They think God told them to do that, but God didn't tell them to do that. He made it real plain in his word which sanctuary to attend, and it's right there in black and white. So when you realize that Christ is greater than Moses, and all Moses saw was a shadow of the real church, and he was only duplicating the real church, but it wasn't the church. They were just attending the tabernacle. And we'll get into that. And then we'll get into being mature, too. Because a lot of Christians, they're not mature. They're still practicing church stuff. But there come a time where we got to leave that. Because they still babies. They still need a piece of milk. They don't need no meat. Meat is for mature people, for strong Christians, people who have had their conscience exercised by the word of God. Against these things that are falling, why we went backwards, and even Abraham. So we got a lot of things to cover, but I want to make sure that we all understand the basic for why God made Christ the minister. Because when you talk about Melchizedek, if you don't know him and his priesthood, you ain't going to understand Christ's priesthood. The only one that had a priesthood close to Melchizedek was Christ. And matter of fact, Melchizedek's priesthood was patterned after Christ. Moses' priesthood wasn't forever. Aaron was the first priest. His priesthood wasn't forever. But Christ is forever. And they serve Aaron. But we're not serving Christ and his priesthood. Now, you can say you're doing that. Anybody can say that. I keep telling you, you can put your bicycle in the garage and say it's a car. That don't make it a car. Because you can say that. That doesn't make that real. I'm talking about reality here, okay? Why it's so important that we understand, even in the seventh chapter, when we get to talking about Melchizedek and his priesthood, then we're going to get to the eighth chapter and talk about the covenant. Because as bad as I want to go to the tenth and talk about the blood of Christ, people don't even understand the blood. Why you have it? Leviticus 17 and 11 says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. So what life is you living? They had to live in a life of the blood of a bull and goats and they, because that blood was alive, and God used that to cover their sin, not for them to have eternal life, not for them to live in, but merely to cover. Well, hey, brother and sister, you got eternal blood going on. Christ is seated at the right-hand side, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. So Christ shed his blood. If he didn't, we all lost. And if he did, why we're not using it like they did? They would take the blood of an animal right to the priest. We're not doing that. We're not using that blood. You can't practice that in the church building. They're two buildings practicing denomination and tradition, when we should be practicing doing what's necessary in the sanctuary. That's why God gave it to Moses, so they all have an idea of what was to happen once Christ came.
Amen.
See, you can say all day long, but I'm overcoming by the word of my testimony. You can give me all that stuff and know all those Lego, but brothers and sisters, if it ain't truth, it doesn't mean anything. And if it's not in your heart, it doesn't mean anything. The people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Not hooping, not getting excited, not being emotional, not crying. Now, see, when you understand Christ's sacrifice, you did it once and for all, period. That's it. Now, because the Bible says that, are you living that? We're supposed to be living under the blood. So what the Lord put in my spirit to teach about this sanctuary and the importance of it, brothers and sisters, is something beyond what I could ever imagine. And I'm just thankful that he told me that the minds of believers were to be directly to the heavenly sanctuary where Christ have entered to make atonement for his people. That's what Christ's doing right now, making atonement, just like the earthly priests, what they did. For us. Anyway.
Amen.
Anyone have any comments? press 1. Have any questions, anything you want to add, press 1. We got a few more minutes here. You have anything you want to comment on yet, Pastor?
Yes, Pastor. I was going to read. I was going to read Hebrews 8:1-5 from the New Living Translation. It says,
okay.
Christ is our high priest. Oh. And it starts, he is the main point. We have a high priest who sat down in the place of honor beside the throne of the majestic God in heaven. There he ministered in the heavenly tabernacle, the true place of worship that was built by the Lord and not by human hands.
Oh, wow.
And since every high priest is required to offer gifts and sacrifices, our high priest must make an offering too. If he were here on earth, he would not even be a priest, since there already are priests who offer the gifts required by the law. They serve in a system of worship that is only a copy, a shadow of the real one in heaven. For when Moses was getting ready to build the tabernacle, God gave him this warning: be sure that you make everything according to the pattern I have shown you here on the mountain. Amen.
Amen. We're going to have to read that as our foundational scripture. And you said that was out of the New Living Translation?
Yes, Pastor.
Wow, that makes a lot of sense. That made a lot of sense to me because I know what he's saying, and I understand that. I think the New English translation kind of put a twist on it, but I like what that New Living Translation say.
Amen.
Because you want to know what the main point is.
Yeah.
Not we going to have, but we have a high priest.
Yes. Amen.
He's in the place of honor where the worldly priest, see, that's what I say, when you get to understand about the worldly priest and what they had to do, and Christ didn't have to go through none of that. He didn't have to get himself clean. He was already clean. And they wasn't
that's
even
right.
allowed to go before, the closer they could get to God, they went to a place called the Holiness of Holiness in the temple. But here's a key, just for you all Bible scholars. Why you think God tore up the temple? Why you think he rent that building? Why you think he tore it down? To never be anymore. And they turned right around and started building more temples. God stopped visiting Jerusalem. I bet you didn't know that, huh? He stopped visiting Jerusalem in the temple. He stopped it. So we'll get into it. I didn't say he stopped healing people. He didn't stop delivering people. I said he stopped it because that was old now. It had passed away. Christ had became superior to those other priestly work that they were doing. He become superior to that. So there was no need for that. There was no place for that. That's why the people stopped assembling themselves. Because it was like pointless. Why are we doing this? Ain't no temple here. Why we got to come up here? We know that Christ's blood. But see, when you can't get all this stuff in like 30, 40 minutes. So we'll pick it up tomorrow. And meanwhile, y'all hang in there and Stay blessed till tomorrow, and we'll pick it right.